Good morning, Dr. Clendenning. How are you?
Good man, how is the Michael Liberci today?
I'm doing well. This change in weather is actually a good thing.
Amen.
We had some crazy weather around here, but it brought some warmth, and I will take the trade-off. Crazy weather and warmth versus cold. I don't know why. Maybe it was our time in California, but I'm just getting like not happy about being cold constantly. And I'm not old, I'm not young, I'm just tired of cold and gray.
Well,
They don't track
reality
me.
is usually it's February for me. As a historical rule, like February, I'm usually just riding the grumpy bus. I just am. I always have been. I'm out of projects by February. It's gray, it's cold, it's windy. Typically it's February for me. So I didn't have it this year. I was busy enough doing some other things, and I would say I was able to distract myself. I had a project. I had lots of projects, and I didn't run into that. Honestly, you're right. Until I noticed it, absolutely. We came back from California, and for everybody who doesn't know, we were in California last week speaking at an event. We actually got an award for the show. We'll talk a little bit about that. But it, I had an opportunity to get outside in shorts, bare feet, walking on the beach, doing some grounding. It was wonderful to reconnect with the world and reconnect with the earth in that way, from a physics standpoint. But yeah, I got home and I was missing it. I was missing the warm right away. It's been cold. It's been below zero again, and I'm just, I'm over it. There's no question I'm over it. I got lots of stuff I want to do outside. I'm ready for that. So I don't know that it's a I don't feel that it has anything to do with an age, one way or the other. I just think it's, hey, we're groundhogs, right? We've been in the hole for a long time. We're done with the 6 more weeks of winter thing, and it's just time. It's at the time that this will air, some states should be seeing flowers. Absolutely should. Where we are, no, we're a good long ways from that. But we're looking at sunshine, more sunshine. We're looking at in the 40s over the next couple of weeks. Like, I know that sounds cold to a lot of people, but I am excited about it. That is get outside weather and do things. It's gonna be muddy, it's gonna be nasty, but that's cool. So I don't think it's an age thing. I think it's just that's where we are. We're just ready to be outside. You're ready to be playing and watching the boys play baseball until you can't stand it anymore. That's the season you're in.
Maybe it's a collective. Maybe that's what's driving me is this collective push to be outside. Me, my friends, my kids, my teammates, my kids' teammates' parents. Everyone is just pressing, pushing, pushing to be outside. And competitions have started. It's always rough. It's you blink an eye and the competition season is over, even though it's not until July. And in some cases, August, you can kind of play through to November. But the truth is, the heat of the season starts in now. That begins the simmer. The boil starts to work through the May, June, July, kind of really heat of the season every weekend, 7 to 10 tournaments, games during the week. Blink of an eye, you're at 56, 60 games, and you don't even know where the time went. So maybe that's what's driving me, right? Which brings me to a point. I wanted to talk about a topic today that I think is very universal. And it's sort of a baseball related topic. And we'll talk about a few of the elements, how it relates to baseball. And baseball is just a great individual slash team sport. So is business. So that's why there's a good parallel there. I'd like to talk about confidence is not seen through praise, but it's built through proof. And when you know, you know. You don't need accolades. It's nice to have them. It's nice to list them. It's nice to be recognized, but you don't need the proof. If you truly know, you don't need the proof. Like, Jeff Bezos can walk down the street and say, I don't need anyone to say, hey, man, you're the man. I know what I've done. I know that I took an obscure company from a bookstore in a garage to a logistics company that gets goods everywhere. I know what I did. You can have a million examples. I find that there is this weird thing, especially with social media. People are looking at likes, people are looking at praise, people are looking at their checkbook, which I do think is a good metric, but people are looking at their checkbook, and I'll explain that. Confidence is not through praise, it's through proof. Now, when I say that to you, Jake, where does that hit you?
Well, before I start into that, I want to take note of something that we should probably put on a t-shirt that you just said. That was a good one. And you said, baseball, just like in business, is a team sport. I want to make sure that we don't like blaze past that, because it's totally true. Like, nobody succeeds alone. A lot of people think that, but if you are the solopreneur and you're out there absolutely doing everything on your own, well, one, you're a lunatic. Two, you are the lid on your business. We'll be really clear on that. Like, business is a team sport. It's networking externally. It's hiring the right employees. It's doing all the things. So I wanted to make sure, like, that was great. That was awesome. Baseball like a team sport. Baseball like business is a team sport. So when we're talking about confidence, I just had this conversation yesterday with one of my corporate clients. She's actually getting ready to speak on one of her first big stages tomorrow. They came to her, this particular event. There we go. Particular event came to her and they're like, hey, we love what you're doing. We'd like for you to come speak to this crowd of women. And she's terrified, right? She's terrified about doing this because public speaking is not something that she has done. Okay. So we have a lot of this conversation around it. And it was a lot about showing her the proof that she does know what she's doing. Right, that one of the pieces of social proof, and we're going to talk about social media a bunch too, because that's a whole thing. But one of the pieces of social proof is they called her, right? They reached out to her and they're like, "You're the man. We want you to be on stage. We want you to be this person up front because we believe that you have the story." That is some proof for her. Now it does mess with the point of, we don't necessarily need that social proof to prove confidence. Now that's true. I'm giving a little bit of an example of just where she was with this, but I had to convince her that she knew what she was talking about on stage. And we walked through a few of the standard pitfalls that you and I well know. You know, I basically brought up the practice. And the practice that she's got to do, because that's the key in real confidence to me, right? That's what I coach all my people on. And you look at this from a martial arts standpoint. You look at this from a musical standpoint. We've talked about this before, of certain guitar riffs that are iconic, that if somebody came out and started and playing that riff on stage, every audience member that's ever heard it is going to know if you miss a note. So how are you incredibly confident when you do that? You have to practice it. You have to practice it so many times you can't possibly get it wrong. That is what kind of creates that confidence. Now, back to the social proof piece. And you talked about this too. So the social proof and confidence is more of a chemical thing that social media has created, right? It has created this. I made a post. I want to go see if anybody likes it. And we're looking for a dopamine hit. We're looking for that particular chemical reaction of affirmation. I recently saw, a Progressive commercial that they're all staying. I don't know if anybody else has seen this, but they're all standing in this flooded basement. There's like five Progressive people and one homeowner. The basement is flooded and the plumber is there and the homeowner is staring at his phone. I thought this was such an interesting commercial. And they're talking about, you know, he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. I'm trying to figure out what to post on social media about this." And they go around the room and finally the last guy, they're talking about it. He goes, "You know, you don't really have to post everything online." And they all bust out laughing. And he goes, "I know, affirmations are the only thing that matters in life, right?" And they're all laughing about it. And that totally brings to your point of social media of, that's all we're looking for there. That's not necessarily we're looking for confidence. We're looking for affirmation. Some people, and there's a difference between affirmation and confirmation. If you're looking for confirmation, somebody, to your point of Jeff Bezos, if you feel somebody has to tell you you're good at it, you're looking for confirmation, not necessarily affirmation. So, I mean, that would be my differentiation in that. Of course, that's a long way of, you know, coming back around to that.
Well, I will add something to this. That let's go a little deeper though into the metrics of marketing and using. Now, you do at some point in business, right? When you're looking at your budget and you're looking at your marketing and you're looking at your retention rates, there's the affirmation, right? You need. When I'm out there and if I'm trying to, for you and I are trying to market our company and our business, and we definitely want, you know, whether we don't see it. So those of you that are not on social media professionally, there are impressions, even though people don't extend the like button, it doesn't really matter if some of the likes you shit or not. I know it goes viral that way. But if you're paying for ads and you're getting impressions and people are seeing your stuff and your branding, and that's a strategy you're deploying, then that's something. You know, through a professional page, you can see your reach without actually calculating likes. If you're putting out content and you're trying to get a certain result and you're not getting that result, we're crossing over into advertising metrics versus confidence and affirmation. However, that's very important because if nobody knows who you are, you're not driving traffic to your business. And then secondly, there are, two out of three here, retention, right? If people aren't sticking with you for a reason, that's definitely a measure of how confident people are in your systems, whether it's you, your employee, your processes, your content, your deliverables, whatever the engagement process is, that is definitely a metric of engagement, a metric of retention and a confidence there in your business from your customers. And then lastly, I would say from an overall feeling standpoint, you know, where's your money going, right? Like, so if more is going out than coming in and your checkbook is reflecting, where's the confidence in your business there as well, right? These are broad strokes. They're not metrics. We only have a few minutes for people. We can't get into all these details, but in the broad stroke of things, the confidence in your business should be, or what you're doing should be, okay, am I seeing results economically? Am I feeling justified by this? Are my customers justified by this? And are my systems and processes netting new business or retaining old business? Did I miss anything there?
No, that is a mountain, and you're totally right. And you have to track, you got to track your metrics. That's plain and simple. You got to know your numbers. You got to track your metrics. And that does stray away, I wouldn't stray away from, but it is a different concept than confidence, right? And confidence. So that's where Mike's talking about is you've got to be confident in what you do, right? You have to know, you have to believe in what you do. And you've got to set trackable spaces, trackable metrics. So you're going to go, okay, I've got this widget that we've produced. We've done the market research. It says it should sell. It says all the things say that it's good, and we start running it out and we have to track what's going on. So all of a sudden, if we're not, you know, if the widget is selling, let's say it's on a little bit of a slope, it's selling, but it's not skyrocketing, it's not doing much. And we're watching our metrics and we see little incremental pieces of growth. It's barely ticking up. Wonderful, right? We're moving, we're trending in the right direction. And we can look online and say, okay, based on our projections, we said we should be here by here. Are we going to be there? You have to establish the gap. And you have to look at your, you know, how many impressions did it take to get there? They're all tracking tools when you're using them for that purpose. And it's telling you what the market thinks of your widget, right? It's telling you what the market thinks about your marketing and how you're progressing forward. If you're trending down, like if it just never took off, it never launched, okay, well, we need to relaunch it. So you did a 90 day. Let's just play with, you know, quarter numbers because those are relatively easy. Let's say we set a goal of X amount of sales on said widget and Y amount of total impressions online in the first quarter, the first 90 days. And we didn't hit that at all. Okay. That's not a widget issue because the widget's not in the hand of the people. The people have no idea about the widget. It's a marketing issue. So we've got to go back and we need to revisit what were we doing? What did work? Reevaluate each post. I mean, there's a lot of pieces in that. And I guess the moral of that story is you got to run the play. You've got to run the play and you've got to set a timeline for how long you're going to run the play to define whether the play works or not. You get to 90 days. If the play didn't work, it may not be throw the baby out with the bathwater. This is not a, you know, maybe we have to revise the play instead of run left. We got to run right, but we're still running the ball. Whatever the thing is, whatever the game you're playing is, you've got to make a shift. Now, you know, if you put it out there for 2 days and nothing happens, that's not a change the world. That's not a get a new product because you haven't tested it against the market long enough. And the reality is, can that shake your confidence, you know, as a business owner, as a person? Yes, it can. Absolutely. Mike and I have built, I can't even tell you how many things in the professional development world that we have built. And some of them work, some of them don't. Right. The audience gets some of them. The audience that in the market like doesn't like some of them. They just they're like, I don't need that. And that's fine. But you have to test it. So, I mean, you have to put it out there. You have to be willing to fail in order to succeed. That's another big piece of that, too. So and again, it goes back to practice.
Well, let me add something to that. We've built it, but I think we've more extracted it from what we already use. So this is a good lesson. We've extracted from what we already use and expanded, and we realized through marketing, through efforts, through conversation, that piece isn't worth expanding because it's not a grabber for more business. It's not a funnel for more business. It's not a big enough niche to drive eyeballs towards that particular solution. It's more of a, this is step five in a 7-step process versus, oh, this is the mega solution. So in our defense, just to clean this conversation up a little bit, not that it's going off track, but I want to make sure we're clear. I was guilty of saying, well, I'll put stuff out there and if it's not working, it's not working. I got real cloudy between the two. What we're trying to do here is bring up a conversation of confidence is in proof of what you're doing and the results you're getting, but also be smart about the time you're investing in what you're doing and the fulfillment you're getting and be confident in the results that you see, not the praise, it's the proof. It's you have to detach yourself a little bit when you put things out there on social media. Like I'll give you another quick example. I used to be the president of a very large coaching company. And according to the website, there were 2,000 members or more during my tenure that were in this coaching company. And I can remember some people being a little critical about others trying to blossom. I can remember, like, because when you get a group big enough and you start getting in circles, people who try to make different offers, they often get misconstrued. And the difference between people that listen to criticism, lose confidence, stop doing what they're doing, they never break through. They never break through and they never, ever, ever see the light of day in terms of what they're trying to offer and what they're trying to solve. That's not the person that has the different MLM scam every week. It's the person that is trying to say, I perform this service or I have this widget and I'm going to try 7 different ways to deploy this service or this widget. I am going to confidently market every element of this, see what sticks, and take off. I have seen, on the other side of this equation, I have seen the success there. I have seen somebody go from being a broke joke to what they would consider their metrics for success, excelling beyond their wildest dreams. I've seen that happen countless times. Mm-hmm. I've helped people do that countless times. Is that confidence? Sure, I'm confident. I'm confident. I've watched you do it. I've heard your stories. I've heard how you help people transform. I totally have. Speaking of transforming, Jake, let's talk about the webinar you and I are doing And let's leave people over there, speaking of making offers. Let's talk about that. When is that? Where is that? I would like you to elaborate on that, please.
Yeah, so speaking of the, we're expanding on some things. I'm teasing this a little bit. Let's go this way. The webinar that we're going to do, it's going to look like a show, especially a special of this. We're going to be May 13th, noon Mountain Time, I believe, is when we're going to be doing that, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. We are running a one-hour special, and we are going, you can join by Eventbrite. We're going to send that show, be showing that link to you. You can get it now on the total-disruption.com website. Check out our Facebook pages. Find it. It's all over the bloody place. It'll be running here pretty quick. You want to join on Eventbrite. So what the thing that we have found is in a really bad event of marketing, I wanted to initially call it the gap closer. But that is about as lame as you can possibly get. So we've run it through a few iterations to get kind of a cooler name on that. But we have found a tool to give you the gap closer, because it really is, right? This, what it does, it closes the gap on sales conversations. It closes the gap on retention conversations. It closes the gap on employee one-on-one leadership to skip level conversations. It is, I was awake last night thinking about this, and the reality is there is not a business on the planet in any industry that doesn't need to utilize the tool. And this is a little bit, it evolved out of some other things that we were building. It just came into being, kind of a very Tron kind of thing. If you followed that movie, right, the conditions were right, and it just came into being. So it's a very cool tool. We're going to run through the webinar. Everybody that comes is going to get the tool for free, get some cool early access to some other portals and some cool stuff that we're doing. So be on the webinar May 13th. You're going to be able to find it on our social media channels, but join the Eventbrite so you can be VIP and get all the stuff.
Awesome. Thanks. Yeah, I can't wait to talk about that, because one of the many things you and I are really good at is communicating, and communicating well and communicating poorly, and being able to talk about the two, just in a nutshell, and expanding that to help everybody else do their thing. So as we move down the line here, I just want to bring up a couple of examples of proof and confidence, and a couple of tactical ideas for people that they can really get themselves done. If you are a person who is an expert at something, I don't care what the something is, and you want to expand your knowledge and shape others' lives, this literally is the spot for you right here, right now. If you literally want to impact others, or if you feel like you're in a room full of people that are better than you when they're really not, this is also for you. You have people who are listening to this, people in the world today, have got to be confident in the things they have done, the life they have lived, and in the shape they have taken. I can't stress enough, there are so many people, and we've covered this a lot, that are comparing their insides to other people's outsides. And It's hard to, though, I will say, though, it is really an uphill battle if you want to make change in your life. It's the decision to make the change is very easy. The actual change is very difficult. The work itself is very difficult. I know. I've tried it. It's hard. I've done it. I'm still doing it. I'm not perfect at it, but I'm perfect at doing it. I'm not perfect at sitting there going, I wish I was. I'm doing it. You're doing it too. So a tactical idea is take some stock in the things you've already done. Take some stock in the parent you are. Take some stock in the man or woman that you've become. Take some stock in the everyday, I'm up, I'm out, I am no longer. Take some stock in the fact that, hey, I'm a total mess, but I am getting my shit done in this area of my life. Find that glimmer. Grab a hold of that. Feel that confidence. Feel that confidence. You know, we all have areas of our life that need improvement, but the anchor system needs to be bled and born through the confidence and the accomplishments that you've already done. Wouldn't you agree?
I would. An exercise that I frequently do and I have clients do, and it's not new, right? It's not a brand new thing at all. Take out, you're gonna need more than one sheet of paper. Grab a notebook. It's amazing how this works when you're feeling that. To what Mike's point, start writing down everything you have done. All the cool shit you've done in your life, just start writing it down. Little, and they're all little things, right? It's just like when we talk about gratitudes, it's the, what's the little thing I'm grateful for today? But write down all the things that you have done as if from an epitaph standpoint, right? Things that are going to be on your grave. List out all the great things that you've done, right? You got married, you had kids, you know, it starts in that direction. I've lost weight. I've gained muscle. I've traveled to here. I've done the thing. I've helped the person. Make a list and just make a point of doing it and assume it's not done. Come back to it for like a week and just keep on writing. And it is amazing when you, and then go back and read it. It is epic what you can see that you have done with the life you're living.
I just did that on the plane going to California. Nice. I did that, and it was a game changer. I was going through some exercises where I had written everything down that I've already done. This was from years ago. I pulled back out my journal, and I was taking a look at the stuff that I've accomplished, and I felt really good about myself. I said, hey, I did that. Mm-hmm. It's very cool, it gave me the boost that I needed. So good drill there, Jake. All right, well, we're out of time here, everybody. So for our esteemed colleague, Dr. Jake Clendenning, I'm Mike Liberace. You were just on Total Disruption. We'll see you next time.